Welcome, oh, audience of the age. Whoa. As hometown action. As great storyteller Gioia Timpanelli taught me years ago, one of the traditional ways of opening stories is there's five ways of traveling: walking, crawling, swimming, flying, and how we're going to travel now. Woohoo, woohoo, because it is a most potent night. So the Visionary Activist Show is mostly carried on the West Coast, but out there it's known as Democracy Now on Mushrooms. The lead song is Oya Day. Some of you may know it. It is Oya, who is the feminine goddess trickster who summons the winds of change, hurls her horsetail whip and summons the winds of change. Wah. So we're going to open with that. It's just very briefly, you would call in response, Oya Day, Oya Day. Oya de leho.
Oya de, oya de, oya de leho.
Oya Excellent. So those are. So it has begun. It has begun on this most historic and powerful night. We don't want to fetishize dates, but this is so cool. You know. So we begin with Muti. Muti comes from the Sangomas of South Africa. Muti means power and healing. True power is that which heals. So I have freshly harvested coyote hair for all of you. And it's mixed with Syrian tobacco from when Syria was beautiful. May it be so again. And it is, again, Muti. We say, O spirit of the compassionate trickster residing within each one of us, waiting for this moment to bound onto the world stage, open the path before each one of us that we may break old spells, take new vows, and be of maximum good while having the most seriously dedicated fun time possible. So we are here to do magic, thanks to Andy Shalal and this wonderful place. So, you know, this sacred temple convincingly disguised as busboys and poets. We go, whoa, so near the capital. Woo-hoo-hoo. So we're here to do magic, and let's just define magic as a willingness to cooperate with everything. So from Dory Midnight, I also have this fantastic tincture that due to telepathy we all get to imbibe. This is witches, bitches, and hoes tincture. It's for all light workers, all transgendered, ambiguous, or not ambiguous people, regardless of our extremely temporary age, race, and gender assignment, that we may be fully emerging. Because as I introduce the planets that represent living qualities of intelligence that reside within us and connect us to the world, we can feel each one of us, that quality of intelligence, stirring within it. We go, oh, Neptune, dreams, vision, we're all in this dream together. So again, everybody, Neptune says, imagine that the deepest, most soulful, most exiled, most interior, most private part of oneself is about to be completely welcome. Exactly. Welcome. There we go. Neptune is in its own home range of Pisces, the realm of everything that has ever inspired humans and probably wolves as well. Poetry, music, metaphor, all of that. You know, it's in our magic backpacks, which each one of you have under your chair, an invisible magic backpack with invaluable tools that our language, our metaphor, and our story be in accord with our dedication, because words are magic. You know, and neuroscience, often late to the party, because I love that neuroscience 2 years ago came out and proudly proclaimed, we've discovered that people remember things more when they're in stories. We go, oh, you cute little neuroscience, you know. But neuroscience, you know, it keeps them off the streets. But we love that neuroscience has just discovered that learning new words and playing with words stimulates the same part of the brain as sex. We go, woohoo! So we're going to play with many words, because when we excavate anything, taking it back to its originating impulse, you know, it brings us to a much more live realm. Again, many of you know the word inaugurate comes from the augur, the diviner within each one of us, who would walk out into nature, read nature's call and response language, determine who the most responsible human is, and then they would be inaugurated. So everything has its kind of wonderful quality. You know, words I've learned in the last year that are so useful, the word privilege means private law. We go, woohoo, well, we'll throw that into the cauldron. It makes it so much clearer. You know, the word respect means to look at again. You know, or again, according to Aretha, respect. Look again until we find something beautiful somewhere in there. Stephen Colbert's final show was great. I mean, there was Henry Kissinger, I don't know what I'm doing here. Next to, you know, dealers of death and creative people, and they were all swinging together. And that's how it is. That is how it is, because we are here to clarify our skills. You know, for this powerful time. So everybody's had some telepathic witches, bitches, and hoes, which brings back, again, the part of us that has been waiting for now. Because Neptune represents how a culture tells itself its own stories, you know, through images that circulate through mass mind and music, the soundtrack of this incredible awakening that is happening now. And it's not going back to sleep. So Neptune is the foggy, invisible tendrils that we can feel but not see, that the molecules of reality follow along behind. And it's that that whispers to each one of us, even more amplified beginning now this whole season, that says pragmatic mysticism, to tease every philosophy, every spiritual teaching into how does it make it better for all beings on this planet. Because we do, yes, oh, thank you. That's great. Because we do wonder, you know, what is unique to our human species aside from our incredible rudeness that is our responsibility and opportunity? And we go, it might be our capacity to borrow qualities of intelligence from animals and plants. So as we journey together, think of all of the trickster qualities that you love. Trickster, represented by Uranus, represents nature's against all odds evolutionary experimental ingenuity. You know, so think of what you love, you know, crows, wolves, coyotes, the seed that sprouts after a forest fire. That's again nature's ingenious resilience that loves against all odds. And it's that part of us that is really coming awake this night. Let me amplify our story. So for 25,000 years or more, humans have gathered on this night, the longest night, you know, to do the first form of theater, to invite the sun's light to illumine the painting at the back of the cave or the writing. So what's going on there? It's, oh, literal and symbolic light of sun, we'll make that the sun, come on in, and here's the story, personal and collective, we'd like you to animate. Come on in and do this. So always important. Also, because it is the Saturnalia, in Greece, because they're trippy, they used to always chain the statues of Saturn. And then on the Saturnalia today, they would unchain Saturn. Meaning, you know, this is, you know, fool's time. This is a time where we can take off the chains, where we can throw into the cauldron, as we will do, old vows and spells. And again, those who've had, you know, personal sessions or heard me for a while, the model is we all take vows very often as children, and it's simply a working definition of how life is and what we must do to survive. And we also inherit the ancestral vows, their determination of how they had to be, and they're useful. And then they go blah, 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 blah into the unconscious where they're no longer useful. Now they're binding spells. And so we get to say, oh, in case we or our culture took any vows that were once useful, let us throw them into Pluto's cauldron, break old spells, old vows, known or unknown, and ladle out new, more conscious vows and dedications. So that's part of our opportunity. So, but Saturn is also leadership. It's how we define things. So the winter solstice was always a time of throwing old leadership models into the cauldron and ladling out leadership in each being. You know, because as we look around at the political world, you know, and so much of what passes for punditism and news and so on, you know, is really just sports casting. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? And we go, no, we are here to do capital Washington, D.C. magic and spiral it forth to define the job for which we are hiring. We're setting that tone, you know, as we know from, you know, the Conscious Parenting magazine that said, you do not tell your five-year-old, oh, please, Susie, pull it on your socks because mom's got to get to work, because your five-year-old has no prefrontal cortex. You go, we're putting on our shoes. Yes, we are. We're putting on our socks and shoes. That's where we're going. And that's how we want to deal with politicians, because they don't have a, because they probably don't have a prefrontal cortex either. So we go, well, yes, we're cleaning up the environment. Yes, we are. No, no, no. We want to be like dog whisperers. No, hey, hey, hey. No, here. You know, because part of what I do in D.C. is cross boundaries and, you know, talk to people, you know, go to CPAC, talk to conservatives. Again, we can find a common story very often. And, you know, one day at somebody's party, I was watching Obama upstairs, you know, and somebody sits next to me on the bed, and I go, oh, my God, it's Grover Norquist. It's Halloween comes early. But my friend who got me into this we have this model that everyone's got a role in the mystery play. Remember, it's Gollum's overreaching that is essential for throwing the ring of power into the crack of doom. So I said later, I said, well, okay, what's Grover's role? And he goes, Grover's going to take down the military-industrial complex. And I go, really? Okay. Because he's against, I mean, many good things, but he's against military waste. And so, again, like dog whisperers, we go, no, 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 drop that government metaphor. Drop it, drop it, drop it. No, here, over here, there you go, Grover, over. Right over there. There we go. So Saturn is, you know, we are insourcing, you know, everything we've been outsourcing. So Saturn is our authority, our capacity to define things, you know, and so we have been outsourcing leadership to sociopathic dingbats who've lost a sense of kinship until now. We want to inhale that back in, inhale that back into our hara, where it lives right here, everybody just from wherever it's been dispersed. And that means in huge governmental global ways, but also, you know, anyone who got our goat. You know, Saturn's symbol is the goat. So we are here, each one beside you. It's a very crowded room because each person, whether you can see it or not, has your goat beside you. It is an ungettable and unscapable goat. And every, you know, whenever your goat gets got, it comes back friskier and more disobedient than before it got gotten. So it's back. It's back. So we have our goat. So that model of, again, insourcing everything we've been outsourcing. There's a wonderful Celtic phrase, to dree our weird. It means to play our role in destiny. We go, this is really it, because not only is it winter solstice, but there was such a lineup, Stella Coyote and I were so excited at home when we were getting ready, because at 5:45 p.m. today, East Coast time, Uranus, the trickster, stationed. It appeared to stand still in the sky from its retrograde motion, stationing now, and beginning to go forward, which is outward. So Uranus, against all odds, trickster, try things that are new, change, experiment. Because nature's evolutionary ingenuity does not have any category of success-fail. Other parts of us do. But Uranus is like, try that. You know, I, nature, I'm going to put big ears on this mammal and see if it lives for a couple million years. And I don't care what people think. You know, so it's this experiment model. We're going to try new things. Now, part of what we throw into the cauldron, you know, it says we have the capacity to invite in, you know, whatever's missing, to invite in powerful forces, to cooperate with Uranus, which is also genius. Where would we like genius in our lives? Where would we like revelation? So, you know, it's a challenging gig, but for a long time I've been going, no, 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 wait for Obama. He's going to come alive in December of 2014 as a starter up, because Uranus the trickster is stationing at 12 degrees of Aries, exactly trining his sun at 12 Leo. And, you know, the typical, you know, right wing, but also our own team of progressives, and I go, no, wait for it. There's magic afoot. That is a perfectly useful muggle critique, but there's more going on, you know. And so as he lost the election and sort of cast off things and did an immigration speech and did all, I also signed up for Obamacare, and it's fantastic. I mean, it's fantastic enough, exactly. It'll do. I myself have close friends whose lives have been saved. And we go, so we discourage the bad, you know, we'll see recent WikiLeaks just leaked a document for the first time in, I think, 3 years. And it's a CIA document saying that drones, you know, assassination drones do not work. And we go, but they've known this. They've known this. It doesn't work. Because part of what we're going to dive into is all enemies are complicitous with all enemies. To be snookered into polarity is to be inadvertently obedient to the reality police, or aka the Dementors of Doom, or the overlords, you know, bless their hearts. And see, the trickster hero within all of us is interested in liberating everyone. Scheherazade, you know, is interested in liberating women, liberating the earth, but liberating even the sociopathic tyrant who has hardened his own heart. And we count on nothing, we expect nothing, because expectation is the partner of disappointment. But willingness, which is what Jornus invites us to be, is the dance partner of life. You know, so Jornus, you know, stationing right now, Jornus says to each one, you know, it is a dance with genius. Where would you like genius? Where would you like revelation? You know, we're heading into a field of serendipitous synchronicity. We might say the Dementors of Doom have more lawyers, more money, more whatever, but we, if we treat each other well in a kind of ally etiquette way, and we are willing to overcome the sneaky vestiges of colonialism, you know, which is kind of secular realism, you know, we can pull this off in an irresistibly magnetic way. So Jornus says to each person here and spiraling on out, you know, I'm going to connect, I'm going to connect you to the coolest things possible, and all I want from you is willingness. And so nobody has to do anything. There's no rules, only guidelines. We might just accept the deal and go, we are willing. We might even throw up our arms. We might do that. We are willing. All right, there we go. And thank you. Oh, good. Yay, Jim Ward. Yes, that's adorable. So the backstage gods go, look, they've hoisted their sails of willingness. Let's go. Here we go. So as Jornus stationed today, 13 degrees of Cancer was rising in the east. That's the degree of the sun when this country was founded. And we go, okay. Jornus is democracy, equality, synchronicity. It says, when we treat each other as equals, we have different roles on stage, but when we're backstage, we're all equals. When we treat each other as equals with respect, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. And so does luck. You know, there was an academic study of luck that kind of proved that luck increases when we run on the fuel of curiosity and generosity. Oh, look, I found this money. Let me buy you this thing. You know, that luck increases. So these are qualities, you know. So Jornus stationed at 5:45 p.m. That was exciting. The coyote and I were... Well, actually, you know, again, animals are so keyed in. It was right around that time that Stella, coyote, and I got back from the woods, and she did this curious thing. She ran around our yard making figure eights. And I go, wow, you've never done that before. And she's like, I do new things every day. She is ancient. She is Weiwei Coyotzin, revered ancient coyote, but still very kick butt. And I learn things from her every day. So yes, figure eights. She danced a little Jornus stationing thing, going, maybe the world will be better for my people. And we go, yeah, we're working on it. You know, when we go out into nature, very often you'll see that there are animal emissaries that approach us. You know, I ran into a bobcat in downtown Denver. I was like, really? And he's like, my people sent me. And I go, well, you know, some of us are trying to be less rude. And they're like, well, speed it up, okay? You know, so that we have sane, reverent common sense and respect for all creatures. And then at 6:03 p.m., 18 minutes later, the winter solstice. Whoa. The sun stands still. We gather our wits. There we go. Okay. We can feel the ancestors behind us. 25,000 years of ancestors rooting for us, backstage and on stage. And then as we are gathered here, it's dark of the moon, dark of the moon, dark of the moon, and then around 8:35 p.m. is a new moon. So there's four bonus points at least. Let me see. It's winter solstice. That's cool. Jornus is stationing. That's really cool. It's like on the autumnal equinox, Pluto stationed. And these boots walked the climate march. It was a fantastically powerful thing. It was like, whoa. You know, and of course, when I turned to the Monday Washington Post, it was like football on the front cover. I'm like, they're not paying you to think, apparently. so we go, but it was, again, a very powerful thing. So both the equinox powerful social action, and now here, again, humans cooperating with the Earth field going right. Because the word disaster means against the stars. Dis, against, aster, the stars. Consider, con is with, sitter, stars. We are gathering to avert disaster in order by considering. So here we are. And then this fabulous new moon in Capricorn, at zero Capricorn, which is about leadership, you know, and straight down, right as the new moon happened at the Capitol, was 9 degrees of Scorpio. Well, if you're lucky enough to have a $100 bill, and you look at the back really carefully with a magnifying glass, there's a clock tower on that bill, and it's got a very specific time on it. And the founding fathers, whatever, whoever, were pretty specific about their symbolism. So if we do a chart for America using the back of a $100 bill timing, it gives 9 Scorpio rising. Again, that's resonant with this new moon. And its image, there are images for each degree of the zodiac. Its image is a fellowship supper reunites old comrades. We go, everybody, may everybody be part of this fellowship supper reuniting old comrades. So it is powerful. Now, do many people know that Christmas is an Amanita mushroom festival? Yes. Well, then we'll just say it a little bit, too. mushroom soup, excellent. You're a genius. Right, so Amanita mushrooms, and somebody, was it Heather, who gave me this wonderful little Amanita mushroom Santa, which is true. So the brief form, again, you know, digging, is in the north, the shaman dresses as the sacrament. Amanita mushrooms are red and white. Ho, ho, ho. Amanita mushrooms grow under fir trees. Little red and white packages under fir trees. Reindeer eat them. The shamans... Nom, nom, nom. the shamans drink the reindeer piss and filter it out for everybody to drink because it filters out the more dangerous alkalides. Everyone drinks it, and the experience is of flying. So you fly with the reindeer to the North Pole, you gather wisdom, and you bring it down everyone's hearth. And we go, ooh, I love that. You know, and everything, you know, again, James Arthur, late great mycologist who taught me this, I thought, you know, after a radio show, maybe he was thinking too much about it because he was seeing it everywhere. But we went to a bookstore and we go, German Christmas cards, Amanita mushrooms, stained glass windows, Amanita mushrooms, everywhere. Even some, I can't remember the dingy person announcing her run for Senate in Nevada. You know, behind her in her infomercial was these canisters with Amanita mushrooms all over them. And I go, oh, that's hilarious, Sharon, whatever. But we go, they're everywhere, they're everywhere. So as you drive around, composting curmudgeon-y churlishness about, oh, commercial, we go, they're actually just trying to get off. Everybody's just trying to have a sacrament, you know, and that's part of what we want to do to bring wisdom down, you know, invite it down, invite it on down. And this skill of being to invite in what's been missing. You know, to expect from humans what can only be delivered by gods, you know, is, of course, you know, doomed to disappointment. You know, I remember when everybody was saying, oh, Obama, I'm so disappointed. Well, aside from that being such a memo, it's like, can you think of no other word? But it's not a very good, it's a bespelling word. Dis means against, but it also means underworld. And when each person who says, I'm disappointed, says, I am powerless in the underworld. And I go, come on, team. There we go. but also to invite in. We're allowed to set in motion anything of which we would be the happy recipients, which is why we wish no one harm. Anybody who is particularly toxic, we go, may it be that their kidneys work so well that it flushes all the poison out of their system and they're left in a pool of befuddled innocence. You know, the trickster blessing, exactly. The proffering provocative precepts, okay, just to say it again, to be snookered into polarity is to be inadvertently obedient to the reality police. James Michael Greer said, if you want people to get nothing done but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something, and you'll only get rah, 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 rah. What two needs is three, which is the unifying story. We're all in this dream. We're all in this story together. And whatever we speak to in another person is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. Which is why when we judge somebody, we're inviting the least evolved part of them to dance with the least evolved part of us, and it's never really a good dance. So, which is why everybody in your magic backpack has a portable harumphitude composter, right? And you can pull it out, and whenever you're like, oh, you know, just compost harumphitude, because, and then communicate. You know, it's much better, because everybody knows what everybody's thinking of them anyway. You know, people, you know, I'm not mentioning Scorpios particularly, but anybody who goes, I was perfectly polite, and that person flipped out. And we go, no, there's a back channel. You thought they were a dingbat, and they knew it. No, so it doesn't mean to not be spicy or not be critical, but we want compassion with sizzle. You know, we want, you know, I love Dorothy Parker, who says, I get up every morning and I brush my teeth and sharpen my tongue. So we want brushed teeth, a sharpened tongue, with a kind heart. Again, these unusual, good, creative juxtapositions that make for spiciness. So there are many things also out there that give us conniption fits, like, oh, we'll run into some of them. We all know them, too. But so also in everybody's magic backpack is conniption fit dissipating magic dust. So when you go, oh, I feel better. Okay. I'm quite taken with Dr. Mario Martino, neuroscience guy who's a brain-body guy. He's been studying centenarians, people who live to be 100, and Saturn's really up for that. I want to do the toast that was given to a friend of mine when she was in Soviet Georgia, you know, in a smoky bar, outsider, didn't know anybody, and a man, large Soviet Georgian guy, when it was that, stood up and everybody got hushed, and he turned to my friend and he said, I drink to your death. And people went, whoa, and may you be buried in a casket made of 100-year-old oak of which I plant the seed today. Ah, wait for it. You know, it's a prospodokian. It's where the end changes everything. Put this in magic backpack, you know, to keep it. The most famous one on the internet is, I want to die peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, not yelling and screaming like the people in his car. So it's again, wait for it. The ending changes the whole picture. Okay. But the Soviet toast is better. Okay, you put the Soviet toast in, you know, again, something dark and scary, and it's even more spicy. You know, beauty and danger love to go together. We don't want just, no, because, you know, real blessings are only effective if we know how awful things are. You know, we have to go, act one is here we are, act two is away, act three is oops, act four is evil, okay, which in Aramaic, the language Jesus would have spoken, simply means unripe. And what do we do with unripe things? We put them in a brown paper bag. So imagine the entire capital with a giant brown paper bag over it. There we go. Very good. You know. So act four is evil, like, oh, God, no. And act five is the wedding, the kiss, the renaissance, the redemption. So we go through all those things. You know, act five must be earned by going to a very dark, deep place. Which we certainly have, but it is a season of revelations. You know, Jornus loves again revealing. The glyph for Jornus, it's like a little H with a circle drop below it. It looks like an archaic jail key. Unlock yourself and pass it on. You know, we remember Hafez's famous quote, the small man builds prisons for everyone he meets, but the wise person ducks under the moon and tosses keys to the beautiful and rowdy prisoners. So there's an abundance of keys in each person's magic backpack as well. And it also helps the martyrdom part of everybody, because it goes, your job is to throw a key. That's really it. You know, you don't dive into the water and put their little hand around the key and go, you can wear it as a necklace if you want, but I recommend unlocking yourself. Throwing keys. Woof, woof, want to play. We're moving our emotional default setting to woof, woof, want to play. And if somebody doesn't, that's fine. We spiral on. We don't go, rrr, rrr, rrr. But Mario Martino, studying centenarians, people who live to be 100, said, at first he asked them, what's your secret? And one would say, I always smoke a cigar before bed. And one would say, I always have a shot of whiskey. So he'd go, okay, it's not the thing, it's the ritual. Ritual keeps us alive. And then he said, there's two kinds of anger, probably many more, but one will kill us and one will allow us to live to be over 100 in a kick-butt kind of sharp mind fashion. And he said, anger on behalf of everybody. If somebody shames your child or is mean to an animal and you go, arr, 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 that will allow us to be centenarians. Indignation will kill us. If the waiter brings you the wrong bottle of wine, dead. So it's a useful distinction, especially because I heard it when driving behind a really slow truck, and I go, okay. You know? Because we wonder how it's perfect. Neptune, Uranus wants us to be willing. Neptune wants us to wonder. Because wonder turns our, even just the mudra, turns our body into a beseeching chalice of invitational inquiry. And when we put these guys together, it says, whatever we wonder about will attract the lightning of revelation. I wonder what, oh, there we go. So many of, people are on the road or their things are in storage or they don't know what they're doing next or they just quit their job or they just got fired. And I always go, congratulations, that's fantastic. you are completely available, apparently. And so these reframing, lots of people coming also for sessions who are older going, I'm planning on retiring. And I go, the first thing we retire is that word. You're about to be sprung. Because there are many people here who were, GS 800s at one point and threw off their whatever, and now they're just wizards. The city is full of wizards, who've been wearing their disguise for a long time. I know exactly who it is in the second row. So revelations, again, about complicity. Something to as a strategy to become clear, it is natural to react, like, ah! But we want to cultivate responses as well. In a world that is already hot, reactivity is a hot reaction thing. So we know about the complicity of polarizing enemies. We know that the Mossad created Hamas. They dragged the blind sheik out of prison and funded him as a foil for Arafat, and then was surprised when they became alive. Also, it turns out that Daesh, which in the West is known as ISIS, which is weird. Thank you, Anne O'Leary, for guiding me in these matters, because it's Daesh, but it's called ISIS, the goddess, the Egyptian goddess of nature. All right, so we will conjure her to stand over, but. How did Daesh happen? Well, we did it. In Camp Booker, 2004 to 2009, in Iraq, everybody kind of up to no good was put into this, close realm where they formed Daesh. We go, imprisoning creates the polarizing enemy opposition. We've got some deep delving and things to throw into the cauldron. To be drawn into polarity is to distract us from the central task of healing, our relations to the earth and everyone in it, to add respect. So we will not be hoodwinked into polarity. and we encourage and support each to create the desirable world. And we go, also when we see up to no good, we go, we are somebody up to no good, a tyrant. We are friends of his soul and therefore friends of his imprisonment and accountability, perhaps. When the torture report was released, the mythic news is always so useful. What's called the North Node of the Moon was at 17 Libra, which is two men placed under arrest, accountability. And we go, yes, wait for it. Accountability is a Saturn theme everywhere. And we go, it's coming. There's even dates, so we know also, Reagan helped create Osama bin Laden. The U.S. created Al-Qaeda. All of that. So we go, yes, those are important themes. There is the WikiLeaks thing. It's online. You can read it yourself. But the WikiLeaks things that says, drones create, even targeted drones, even when they don't kill civilians, killing civilians creates, huge righteous reaction appropriately. But also even killing the right person, and there is no right person to kill, creates huge opposition. It's complicit. It's a complicitous dance to justify a war economy, unbeknownst. And it serves no one, again, but the overlords, bless their hearts, and may they... Remember, the ancients used to sentence, Hercules trashing the world. They were like, oh. They would sentence Hercules to go to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving. So just imagine Dick Cheney in the underworld knitting tea cozies, so So I've said for a long time, and even talking to warmongers, all war is a failure of imagination. And they're like, well, this one is, you know, maybe, okay. And then also, the only solution to terrorism is a wonderful life for all children. And you can, people will come around to that. There we go. But in accord with my own, you know, discourage and encourage, we go, well, if all war is a failure of imagination, then all peace is a triumph of imagination and ingenuity. And that's part of where we're going. I heard a fabulous radio interview with Jinho the Piper Ferreira, born in West Oakland, a hip-hop rapper who was catalyzed by the murder of Oscar Grant, you know, as many people know, in the Fruitvale Station, who was face down, handcuffed, and who said, "Don't tase me, don't shoot me, I have a 4-year-old daughter." And he was killed. So at that time, you know, the Piper, Jinho, and many people took to the streets like, "Oh, no, still, you know, an ongoing, this repetitive crime." But he said these incredibly useful things. He said, "What are we seeking to accomplish here?" He wondered. He began to wonder. "If we could fire all dangerous cops, who would replace them? If we secured the indictment, it wouldn't mean much if we didn't change everything." And he said, "I'm from West Oakland. I'm a rapper. I've been arrested for crack. I was dealing. I mean, all kinds of stuff, but I decided to become a policeman." So he said he discovered that you can pay your way through the police academy. And he wasn't sure they'd take him because he'd been arrested and had a criminal record, but they did. And he said, "I know that good people can do bad things. You know, I know good people who were selling crack in the community, unaware or and on purpose that they're destroying the community, but I know that they're good." He said, "We need to find solutions. Normal is relative." And he says, "Either we're going to annihilate each other, or we need to figure out how to come to solutions, intelligent and creative." He was so speaking exactly right, you know, and applied action to the plan to make it happen. So part of what we also have in our magic backpack, we have our magic mirror, which many people who hang with me, trickster training, you can find out how to join, but we have a magic mirror, which is the secular critic, part of all of us, appropriately holds up the mirror and goes, look, it sucks, you know, in detail. The trickster in all of us, with a wave of the hand, turns the mirror into a window, but look how beautiful it could be. And then with another wave of the hand, turns it into a door. Let's go. So mirror, window, door. You know, we have many good people on, you know, on the progressive left who are good at mirror, you know, and we go, you know, window, door, well, we'll do it for you. Okay, so coming to solutions, intelligent and creative, try other things. So he wrote a play, which I am eager to see. Maybe Andy will sponsor it here. God, it would be fantastic. A play called Cops and Robbers. And he has 17 roles, all played by him. There's three officers. There's protesters. There's a religious community leader. There's a conservative radio host. There's a guy who gets killed. And he plays them all. And he said, "I had all these voices in my head, and I knew that we were all kin and that we need to express them." And I go, this is so right. This is so right, you know, and how are we to be effective? As Yornos is stationing, its symbol is a bomb that fails to go off, defusing tense situations. So may it be that all of us are capable of entering into something that is hot, you know, and being an agent of defusing it. We know that to react to anything is not free. It's to carry a portable prison around for ourselves and for others. And it's a natural thing. I mean, if we saw someone we cared about or in our neighborhood killed, but for those of us for whom that has not happened today, we want to spiral into the memosphere, an expanded repertoire of responses and tolerance, yes, so that we can enter hot situations as agents of cool, not caught up in the hot reactivity. There we go. Okay, all of that thing. So in the play, the Piper, you know, he says he wants us all to be passionate for solutions. He went into policing in order to do this, in order to redefine what our police meant to do. You know, and how do we redefine Mars as protectors? How do we set a meme in? You know, it wants to happen. You know, in quirky ways, you know, I fall into different kind of, you know, spiritual or non-spiritual neighborhoods of who comes to see me. And At one point, I still am, you know, interesting friends with a mega cop woman who is a cop and a student of shamanism. Longer story. But she sent me all these policemen for readings. And what became really clear is we're training police to be shamans on the edge of life and death, completely ill-equipped. But what happened was, like, these two guys came in. One guy came separately. One guy came in and said he was freaked out because he'd had this psychic experience, this precognition experience. You know, he saw something before it was going to happen. And he said, don't tell my partner because, you know, or I'll get fired. I'll have to go to a shrink. His partner came in and said, I had this really spooky psychic experience, but don't tell my partner. And I go, you know, more room for everybody. Because they are, you know, and part of that dynamic, again, the training of a shaman, you know, the training of a protector of life with an expanded repertoire, no more reaction, but a rich repertoire of how to diffuse things. And I can remember on, you know, rare occasion where running across somebody who was drunk in the middle of the highway, car stalled, and my former husband, one of the things I love about him best is he was like, stop, stop. And he went up to the person, you know, the cop was already there, and he said to the cop, I'll handle this. And the cop was like, thank you, because it's too much paperwork, you know. And he just said to the drunk, passed out guy, you know, come on, what happened to you? Here, you move over, and I'll drive you home, and my wife will follow, you know. And we go, yes, to be able to step in and spiral into that realm. So in a play, he wrote out all the perspectives. Again, the Piper did, it's all the perspectives and all the dialogue. You know, and, you know, he's performed it in Santa Rita Jail. He's performed it in police stations, taking it to all demographics. And we go, yes, may it be for each one of us. When we have an opportunity to talk to somebody who is apparently polarizing, that our trickster comes into play to respect, find something to talk about, irresistibly eloquent, guide them through the thing, there we go. But it isn't us hubris, it's us being willing to be an agent of something larger and wiser and greater than us. You know, for humans to humbly be willing to cooperate with the guiding ingenuity of nature is where we're going. Because part of the dynamic of now, Pluto, death and rebirth in Capricorn, you know, says empire and colonialism, you know, doom, doom, da-doom, row, you bastards, you know, is, you know, runs on fossil fuel, let's kill everything, war on life. And it's collapsing, but taking so much life with it. And then up from underneath comes Uranus and Aries, reverent renaissance, you know, collaborate with everything, let nature's guiding ingenuity be the solution, let's ally and cooperate with that, cooperate. So colonialism is any impositional, you know, let me tell you what to do thing, no matter what kind of label we stick on our butt. And again, a willingness to cooperate, here we go, coming up out of that dynamic. So again, Piper says, you know, we've got to change. I'm letting everyone know it. You know, continue as we have, nothing's going to get done. Radical, experiment, change our language, change our metaphors, change our inside. People of America, let's create systemic change. She says, I'm an optimist, you know, but first recognize our history. The first police, you know, were to keep blacks enslaved from the mid-1600s to the 1900s, you know, and on. And each place, each physical geographic place resonates with its history. I mean, Ferguson has got a long and difficult history. The place in Florida, again, where Trayvon Martin was murdered, has got a long, long history. Again, this is what we mean also when we speak about the ancestors. Everyone whose bones lie upon and beneath that ground is humming, you know. And he said that it's going to be hard. But anyway, we love that. So I want to prime our pump of what we might want to toss into the cauldron, you know, as provocative things, and then we'll do it, you know, just for the fun of it. So and when we do our chant, our winter solstice chant that many of you know, you know, which you'll be in a little bit. But it's the longest night, the wheel is turning, what will we give to the night? And then we can all shout out things. But here's a primer. What if we humans were willing to toss into the cauldron our addiction to having an enemy? You know, we go, and just everybody check, you know, wouldn't that be kind of cool, you know, just, and see, the trickster is quite different from the shaman. Shaman's good, mediating, you know, but every spiritual tradition, every philosophy, every political, you know, ideology, everything wants to be thrown into Pluto's cauldron because certainty is a booby prize. You know, and we want to ladle out, you know, complexity, complex prismatic perspective, you know, liberating mystery. May constraining certainty, you know, be go into the cauldron and liberating mystery be drawn forth. So we go, and what about blame? What about blame? So again, everybody goes, well, and we go, what about if we threw blame into the cauldron? We go, I mean, these are complex, ongoing conversations, you know. And they're hot. They're hot. You know, the conversation about rape is very hot. And, you know, on Facebook, which is, you know, one part of the strange world. But, you know, somebody, an ally, sort of quoted me and posted, you know, here's this CNN woman interviewing this terrible woman who says, you know, rape is a learning, you know, experience, whatever. Well, that's, and I was like, oh, what a bad person. You know, I almost got snookered into, and I go, well, let me actually look at the thing, you know. And I go, oh, that's really unfair. She wasn't really saying that. She was saying, no, let us, you know, hold accountable and indict and, you know, send dangerous people away. But we do all learn. You know, and some people are like, no, that's blaming the victim. And we go, we do all learn. You know, I know whenever I've fallen into, I don't really use the word victim, but whenever, whatever better word we can come, that's happened to me on occasion. You know, I've sent a couple people to prison. You know, with a number of other people who were also assaulted by these people. And, you know, we would have preferred that the perp had gone to, you know, Duke Ellington saxophone camp, but they went to prison, Vacaville, 20 years. But we did all learn. You know, Saturn is about rhythm, our self-possession. You know, and we do want to be savvy, wise animals. And there was a sociologist who took video clips of people walking down the street into prisons and asked muggers, who would you mug? And they basically said, they didn't use this word, but they said, anybody arrhythmic. Like, anybody with a strong rhythm, too much trouble. And so in all of us, you know, people who've had bad things happen, we go, and there's many ways to get mugged, metaphorically in a conversation as well as, you know, literally on the street, you know, and worse. But when we thought back, we go, right, I wasn't on rhythm. I wasn't on rhythm. I was like, la, 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 phew. There are things to be learned if we don't get hot and go complexity, complexity, you know, finger wagging into cauldron, and may it come out from finger wagging into beguiling, going, come this way. Yeah, come this way. There we go. So we might want to put retaliation into the cauldron. We go retaliation into the cauldron, you know, and ladle out, you know, what if we put desire to punish into the cauldron? We go, ooh, these are big, interesting things. And what we ladle out is more imaginative sentencing, you know, which judges sentence people by throwing the I Ching. I sentence you to be a wanderer, or 100 years of studying flower essences. There we go. Or, you know, permaculture for you. You know, it's again, Eddie Izzard, wonderful Eddie Izzard, you know, says Star Trek, a very advanced civilization, and yet their phasers only had two settings, stun or kill, you know, kind of like cops now. He said, we want to have many, 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 many different settings, right? Okay, so, you know, so he said, sudden interest in botany setting. I will kill you. Oh, look at the moss. Wow. That's fantastic. You know, and he's got hundreds, you know, or a bit of a limp setting. I will kill you. Oh, okay. You know, or left kettle on at home setting. I will kill you. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. And so we want to play with these things so that we have an ever-expanding repertoire of settings, you know, and just to take this home and try this at home, you know, many settings that are like, and as effective, playful magic, you know, when I was more cloaked and rhythmic, and even though living in bad neighborhoods didn't run into trouble, we play. We use all of the magic from many different crazy mystery schools. But, you know, in London, living in bad, bad crime neighborhood. But each one of us had a word. It was a safe word, you know, that we would imbue with protection. So somebody would come up to you going, give me your wallet, you know, and you just go, rutabaga. And they're like, what? What? See, it only takes one person to change the dance. To change the dance. They're like, whoa, too weird for me. Let me go. You know, again, it's that we've got to change the story. you know, we're you know, it, again, you know, told it over and over again, but it's so useful. The UN, you know, ally who told me his story of when he was walking down the street, and I can't remember, Zaire, I think, well, maybe it was the Congo. But colleagues of his had been kidnapped and murdered the week before, and he and his colleagues are kidnapped. They're shoved into the back of a van, guys with AK-47s, bloodshot eyes, and they thought they were going to die. And so he said to his colleagues, we've got to change the story. We're not being kidnapped. We're being helped in a complex environment. So they began to thank their captors. Thank you, oh man, thank you so much for this ride. And they were, and the captors were like, what? Thank you. So that night, when they locked them up, the captors said, you know, don't worry, you'll be safe. We're putting a guard outside. And then 3 days later, let them go. So in Magic Backpack, we've got to change the story. At any moment, you can just go time out, you know, backstage, rearranging the set, changing the story. You're no longer villains. Now you're helpful guides. We're no longer victims. Now we're sort of, you know, clueless but grateful people. All right, back on stage. So it's a useful thing to carry with us to experiment with. Words. The word impact is so prevalent. You know, these words get sucked, all the meaning sucked out of them as they travel. There's impact investing, and do you want to have an impact? And I go, really? In Impact Hub Oakland, where we performed recently, and I go, impact, really? You want a fast, violent, short-term encounter? Is that really what you mean? As opposed to a long influence, a long, snaky Venusian influence. So once again, I was rescued by the hyphen. If we put a hyphen in impact, it's imp act. Much more fun. So I go, imp act. Yes, yes, imp act investing. So the secret hyphen. It's like if we put the magic hyphen in diagnosis, it's dia hyphen gnosis. That critique is in order to heal. It's not just, it's to summon all wisdom and to wonder, what should we do here to heal this circumstance, as opposed to righteousness, which, again, will kill us, but also, you know, is hot in an already too hot world. Because I go to all these different grown-up lectures here with talk to conservatives, and maybe some of them are here. Hello! Recent lecture on American exceptionalism. And I go, really? Really? It's like a second grade boy recess spat. We're better. No, we're better. And it's like exceptionalism into the cauldron. There we go. And along with that would go special. You know, special, because special is kind of a celebrity thing as opposed to unique. See, unique, everybody who's unique, each one of us, it encourages everybody else to be unique. There we go. Active rather than passive. You know, celebrity, okay, you know, whatever, into the cauldron. Mythology, guiding mythology out. And things to throw into the cauldron, again, our harumphitude composter, right, the psychologist who knew nothing, the two psychologists paid $81 million to experiment with torture. And we go, oh, this is so kinky. It's so kinky, it goes back to the originating impulse about who do we give leadership to. It goes back to Skull and Bones at Yale, you know, up a fountain of weird kinkiness to which we've been outsourcing economic and political leadership for a long time. And one of the rituals they do, faux rituals, they say this feeling, you know, feelings are weak and I kill them. They do that thing. We go, nah, well, God, no wonder. So this kinky thing. Into the cauldron, you know, conniption fit inducing, use your dust. You know, the never discussed in public thing that the defense bill passes, $585 billion national defense bill, and gives 2,400 acres of Tonto National Forest, quirky name, to this mining company, this Australian mining company, Rio Tinto. It's our national land. It is sacred Apache land, and we have given it away to this Australian mining company that quirkily, one, you know, part of their investors is Iran, and we go, oh, it's so complex. It's so interestingly complex. Anywhere is so complex. Syria, so complex. We can only invite in what will heal. Because the Kurdish women fighters in Qahtani, inspired by the American anarchist Murray Bookchin, creating a whole new model of egalitarian community, but they are very hip to American empire, but they want American bombing. right? So we go, ooh, it's complex. So what are we to do? We don't like bombing. We don't like America, but we do want to protect these, you know, people. So invite in maybe giant being of ISIS hovering over Katani with a Eddie Izzard phaser setting going, there you go, you boys. Because already the sociopaths, bless their hearts, may they have them again. They are frightened of the women because they believe that if they're killed by a woman, they won't go to paradise. So the women are broadcasting going, we're women and we're going to get you. Ah, you know, and we go. And I go, just give them mythic backup, you know, a giant 60-foot ISIS overhead, you know, instead of a snow Santa going, ISIS, whoa, sudden interest in botany, boys, or go away, you know. You know, more of that. You know, so poisoning, may humans no longer poison, you know, Schadenfreude, you know, okay, the Russian economy just tanking. But Putin, you know, according to Rachel Maddow, bless her heart, but Putin gave a press conference with many terrible, crazy things, but he also said, I have a new love in my life. I am loved and I love. We go, well, that's adorable, sort of. But it's part of the trickster spell, which is when we had little bullies on our street. You know, we realized that hating them fed them. They love that. Hatred feeds tyrants. They love that. Remember that saying, you know, tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love each other. We go, tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth. So on our street, you know, we were like, oh, they're hating them. No, and they would do provocative things to get us to hate them. You know, chopping down flowering trees for no reason, you know. And so with 84-year-old Mrs. Payne, she goes, I'm a good Christian woman, but I believe in witchcraft at a time like this. And so we said, all right, what's a fierce blessing? What's a fierce blessing? Okay. May the bully tyrant developer, may he fall in love with a woman who changes his heart. Not on the street. Okay. And that's what happened. That's what happened. He fell in love with a woman who changed his heart, and he never swaggered down our street again. We go many phaser settings. Yes, boo, Citigroup, writing the Wall Street giveaway, all those things. As Upton Sinclair said, it's difficult to get a politician to understand something when his job depends on not understanding it. Okay, so you can fill in, you know, it's difficult to get a regulator, a journalist, a whatever, to understand something when his job, when his future job, whatever, depends on not understanding it. And we go, right. You know, again, the antidote. So, you know, we might throw snark into the cauldron. We might throw, again, everybody's choice. You know, Jorna says everybody's freedom, everybody autonomous. You know, the word empower means to power from outside. You know, it's a legal term. You know, the president empowers a committee to do so and such. And I just go, you know, and also right now, you know, the right wing is like, empower your voice on right wing radio. You know, so even if it wasn't gone, I think it's gone. But you know, the word encourage, so much better. That was very encouraging, feeding of the heart, you know, more democratic. So covert ops into the cauldron, unless it's Santa. You know, covert ops unless it's really kind and witty. What I wanted to say about Putin's economy tanking, even though he's loved, you know, is let's throw Schadenfreude into the cauldron and ladle out JFK's American University speech that he gave in 1963, right, you know, in the June before he was assassinated, and it might have had to do with his assassination. Because it was, and it was right after he was smoking grass with Mary Meyer, hello, ghost of Mary Meyer, in the White House for sure, and maybe a low dose of LSD as well. Pretty for real. That's a whole other interesting thing. But he gave this speech, which came to him in these contemplative reverie plant entheogenic enhanced states, in which he called for Americans to have compassion for the Russian people and how much they have suffered, and to feel their kinship, and a new quality of peace that would not be enforced by military. And it was so good that Khrushchev played it throughout Russia. And we go, yes, that, you know, again, pulling that out. Remember Jung's quote, fanaticism is always shouted down doubt. When people are fanatic, it means they don't really believe it. So that's fun. Churlishness. I like, there's the very toxic, you know, killer of young people, well, killer of everybody, you know, Boko Haram. But I was going, that reminds me of something. Boko Haram, what does that want to be? Kurt Vonnegut wrote a great novel called Cat's Cradle, in which there's Bokononism, in which you, the sacrament is to put your feet together with another person and it will invite in world peace. And I go, Boko Haram into Boko Nononism. And we go, that would be fun. It's a religion invented by Kurt Vonnegut and practiced, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's based on the concept of FOMA, which are defined as harmless untruths. A foundation of Boko Nononism is that the religion is formed entirely of lies, but they're useful. However, you know, who believes and adheres to these lies will have peace of mind and perhaps live a good life. The primary tenet of Boko Nononism is live by the FOMA that make you brave and kind and healthy and happy. It's irreverent, nihilistic, you know, about light. Anyway, the supreme act of worship is an intimate act consisting of prolonged physical contact between the bare soles of the feet of two persons. We go, all right, Boko Haram into the cauldron and Boko Nononism is coming out. A friend of mine says a provocative thing. I found it a useful opening conversation when seated next to bankers, because that sometimes happened. You know, the quote is, no fortune without a felony. And it's a fun opener, because people go, because they really have to scratch their heads going, you might be right. You know, what about artists? You know, there might be one or two entrepreneurs, maybe, you know, but no fortune without a felony. And I go, I love that. You know, and, you know, there's a Woody Guthrie song about Pretty Boy Floyd. If you'll gather around me, children, a story I will tell about Pretty Boy Floyd, an outlaw. Oklahoma knew him well. Yes, he did many things, was blamed for many things. But a many a starving farmer, the same old story told, how the outlaw paid their mortgage and saved their little homes. Others tell you about a stranger that come to beg a meal, and underneath his napkin left a $1,000 bill. So we go, well, you say that I'm an outlaw, you say that I'm a thief. Here's a Christmas dinner for the families on relief. Yes, as through this world I've wandered, I've seen lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six gun, and some with a fountain pen. Thank you, Pretty Boy Floyd. Really good. So I think we want to begin to throw things into the cauldron. So shall we begin? Okay, we just go, the longest night,
the wheel is turning.
What will we give to the night?
Polarity.
Polarity is gone with the night. Woo, okay. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Indignation.
Indignation is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Righteousness.
Righteousness is gone with the night.
Yeah.
The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Duality?
Sure. What the hell? Duality is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Despair.
Despair is gone with the night. Woo! Woo! The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Resistance,
and then we'll get to police brutality. Okay, resistance. What's going on tonight? The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Cruelty. Cruelty is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Greed.
Greed is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Fracking!
Yeah.
It's gone in New York. It's gone in New York. We're going to list our blessings in a moment. Okay, excellent. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Cynicism.
Cynicism is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Police brutality.
The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Brutality of all kinds. Brutality of all kinds is gone with the night. Okay. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
The Redskins' name.
The Redskins' name is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Fear.
Fear is good. Fear. Fear is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Doubt.
I kind of like doubt. But okay, all right, doubt is gone with the night. Oh, okay. My doubt about doubt. Okay, here we go. Okay. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Judgment.
Judgment. Judgment is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Procrastination.
Oh, no, I can't do it. Let me go outside and smoke a cigarette before we do that. No. All right, procrastination is gone with the night. There we go. Procrastination is gone with the night. Help me on that one. There we go. Okay. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Insomnia. Insomnia is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Alienation is gone with the night. Okay, maybe one more, and then just everybody shout out. You know, ack, you know, anything, all the demons, you know, do it all at once. Okay. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Ack, that's good, team. That's very good. All right. Excellent. All right. We've done that on behalf of the Capitol and everything. So again, simple things we want to carry with us, you know, just as, you know, it's like I am the fairy godmother of Code Pink. I gave him the name. It was Code Hot Pink because on the radio show, you know, when the Dementors were coming out with Code Red, you know, we declare, you know, Code Hot Pink, meaning everybody knows they're all in the dream together. So Code Pink, you know, took it. Whatever. But I'm thinking of reviving Code Hot Pink. You know, which is, again, just blessings out there. You know, simple things, you know, again, that one just says, you know, to oneself in the woods or in public. Whatever we do, we get more of that. It's very simple. Violence. Peace. It's very simple. So for all of us to kind of just distill these things, you know, down to basically tweet size, you know. So we have Coyote. Okay, here's death, you know, and then here's Coyote, liberated now, going forward now in all of our hearts and out to the world, ladling blessings. We love the blessing that learning a new word stimulates the same region of the brain as sex. Thank you, neuroscience. Woo-hoo, I feel better. So nobody need be celibate anymore. So I like replacing almost always when people use the word they with we. Just to try it. It's just very, those people, we, you know, those people have to, we're going to do this. You know, and also just for fun, wherever we see the word fight, replace it with dance. It's going to be a long, hard dance, you know, spiraling thing. Because, you know, people go, how long will we have to fight until there's no war? And I go, as long as you keep saying that, really. You know, So we have these, you know, again, blessings that we want to honor, and then we'll have a moment of deep dedication, and then we will have our rousing, spiraling great goodness into the world. You know, we know that, you know, prejudice means prejudging. It means having an opinion before you have the story, and we never have the story. I mean, one of the things about being, you know, hanging out with cops, having been, better word than victim, is that we got to learn the story of the person who attacked us, and we go, oh, geez, wow, that happened. That happened to that person. And then they were a crack addict, and then they, you know, and then their mother died, and then they were on the street, and then they lost all sense of kinship. Okay, I get that. You know, and talking to detectives backstage, you know, we've got to change the story backstage. There are many back channels and much backstage. We call backstage the green room. You know, thank you, Catherine Neville, for pointing this out to me. It comes from Greek theater. It was called the green room because it was sacred to Dionysus, the green man. So every actor, regardless of their role, would spend time in the green room backstage before they went on, dedicating themselves to the beautiful flora and fauna of this planet. So backstage is available. It's in your magic backpack. You can always pull it out at any point, going backstage, let's work a deal, then on stage. And it's time out of time. It takes no time to do that. Like, you know, a friend who was kidnapped, took no time. We're changing the story back on. So respect is the antidote to prejudice. Look again, find out the story. Why did they do that? You know, we're on a change of heart tour. You know, so, you know, some good things that we're ladling out, because everywhere we see it, it's alive. You know, it's alive in the streets, it's alive everywhere, and it's not going back to sleep. Change wants a story. You know, it's incumbent on all of us to provide a story. Change, and here's a guiding story. And it is time for good-hearted people, you know, all of us everywhere out there, to assume cultural narrative lead. So we're not just reacting like, oh, that's horrible, all that we're going, you know, again, like the mother with her five-year-old. We're going this way. We're going this way. You know, again, as Alan Watts said, no sense clinging to the rocks that are falling with you. You know, come on over here. That thing's going down. That's going down. We're over here. We're having a fantastic time. We're having word orgasms over here. Come on. You know, so Maui wins, you know, lawsuit against Monsanto and Dow. Monsanto and Dow, we go, okay. Now, we know the Dementors, bless their hearts. May they have spooky dreams at night that awaken their hearts. The Dementors are relentless. I mean, we know the desire to drill in the Arctic. Chevron just canceled its plans to drill in the Arctic due to instability in the financial markets around petroleum. And we go, yay, instability. Yay, financial instability around death-dealing forms of fuel. Yes. You know, and so there's many, many ways to tell the story. People go, okay, well, we, you know, the U.S. tanked Russia's economy probably due to falling oil prices, so they couldn't build that pipeline that they were going to build. You know, and we go, yeah, good. You know, but we wonder, you know, how it can come back to life. So it's complex. Don't think you know. You know, in the ancient world, wonder and not knowing were considered a fantastic accomplishment. You know, look, that person is run out of certainty. Now the divine can speak to them directly. So not knowing, because everything is so complex, you know, it is far too complex for any ideology, any certainty, anything. We go, Again, that's why we have ingenuity. I'm still trying to track down the Hawaiian phrase that Obama said at the end of his press conference. He said mahalo, which is thank you. But but he is embraced as a kama'aina, a son of Hawaii who loves the land. And we go, oh, great, good. Okay, so Chevron cancels its Arctic drilling. That's also our experimental willingness to cahoot with the large-scale trickster intelligence of nature. Because it was two summers ago that Chevron was putting its first drilling rig up there, people watching and reported back to me going, it was a clear horizon, and then on the horizon, as the drilling rig is installed, this giant iceberg appeared, dum-dum, dum-dum-dum-dum, and just came right for the drilling rig, you know, causing Chevron to go, this shouldn't happen, but we're skedaddling. And then the tugboat that was to tow it out, you know, broke down, and then broke down, and then the EPA boarded them and cited them with innumerable environmental violations. And it was really the spirit of the Arctic itself going, poof, you know, and going, we'd like to work with humans. We'd like to work with you humans. You know, we want the animal emissaries, you know, the opening of, you know, again, I said in June, I don't like predictions, but I said in June that Obama was going to open Cuba up in December. I did. I knew it. You know, I knew it. I mean, predictions are a booby prize, but I knew that, and yay, Pope Frank, you know, Pope Francis, you know, our super pope, you know, I mean, he probably doesn't even believe in Catholicism. Anyway, but no, we want him to be in there. You know, he's a Sagittarius. He doesn't really believe in anything. But he's playing a role in the mystery play, which is fantastic. You know, Pope tweets, you know, dogs go to heaven and Americans can go to Cuba. And we go, you know, let's tango. Because he had a massive tango, you know, for his birthday. Everybody tango. And he goes, I love tango. I had a girlfriend once and we tangoed. I love tango. Let's tango. And again, the long, hard tango. You know, much more inviting. You know, come join us for the long, hard tango. It's a lot more fun. So yay Pope Francis. Other things, you know, Russell Brand's revolution scores victory. Hundreds of residents facing eviction in London, you know, stood firm after investors who were going to turn it all into gazillion-dollar condos. The force of humble people connecting and the economic instability that all of us were going to cause to bad ideas caused the developers to sell the development to an affordable housing charity. Yes! Okay. Wolves regain federal protection. Some places. Yes, all right. So we have all of that. We have all those things. Accountability. We love accountability. We're ladling accountability out of the cauldron because it is not good for anyone to get away with tyranny. Because we are friends of their soul. We are friends of their accountability and imprisoning and weaving tea cozies in the underworld and permaculture. Healing. Don Blankenship, coal executive in West Virginia, indicted. This is very unusual. All right, it's an unusual time. So we can go, all these terrible things. We go, no. This is going this good. You know, Cole indicted, and also, you know, other coal executives. I always love this from ally Steve Behrman, you know, who says, here's something we're ladling out of the cauldron. He goes, the answer to the drug problem? Improve reality. We go, yes, improve reality. Improve reality out there into the thing. There we go. And it's the answer to the immigration problem. I mean, it's the answer to every problem. Improve reality. And it's like, that's our platform. That's our story, and we're sticking to it. You know, may all creatures that have been, you know, reviled, the model, because soon we will be honoring Venus. Venus is returning because not only is it the winter solstice, not only is the trickster stationing to go bound onto the world stage, not only is it a new moon, but for bonus points, Venus is reemerging from the underworld. And on we can, depending on your western horizon, but you can see her tonight. Well, she's already set, but right after sunset. And on January 1st, Venus and Mars will be together in the sky, visible after sunset for the first time in a long time. We go, right, because it is Venus that initiates Mars. Mars without Venus, the world is being destroyed by hyper-yang Mars death frenzy. Mars with no Venus, no art, no sense of kinship. So what do we add? It's the Venus in all of us again. You know. And blessings. And what is initiation but the invitation to everyone? We need everyone. We need the awakened imagination of right-wing golfers, inner-city kids, good-hearted cops, may you become that. I mean, we need to do this reverent renaissance of ingenuity because it's available. It is time for, you know, Venus to reemerge, yes. So, in the Venus reemerging, we want to have a moment now. Beautiful frame drum will just guide us into a reverie as we throw the finite game into the cauldron and ladle out the infinite game. James Carr says a finite game is about winning. An infinite game is about keeping everything in play, you know. So this is a moment to also say, if we really are agents of Renaissance and not sneaky colonialism, is our manner of relating an offering serves freedom, or an imposition serves colonialism, no matter what we think we're doing. And at this moment with beautiful frame drum, which is so haunting, again, reverie, and make a vow, a desirable wish. Mario Martino says, we all have a burden, you know, something we wish we had, money, love, something, or some obstacle to our full giving our gifts to the world. And he said, imagine 6 months from now, summer solstice, that obstacle has dissolved, and have that feeling. And then he said an interesting thing. And then imagine if there's anyone who minds. You know, anybody in your life that you might love very dearly, but who would mind any relationships based on complaint, on not having. And he said, benign boundaries. You want to have a backstage conversation. If that fishing hook attracts any fish, is there anybody who would mind? So as we go off into reverie, you know, critique and blessing into this dynamic season and the blessing poker, just imagine, you know, that feeling. Again, the obstacle is gone. The obstacle's gone. Is there anyone who minds? We address that, but the obstacle's gone. And the new vows we might want to take for ourselves and all creatures that we're ladling out of the cauldron now.
Thank you.
we remember that beauty is powerful. Keep on. And she's back to initiate and guide us. What are the greatest acts of beauty, irresistible beauty, we can create for a culture of reciprocal blessing that we're ladling out of this cauldron and spiraling forth? Let us be the balm, B-A-L-M. And we remember envisioning the desirable future brings us into collaborative cahoots with it. We want it. It wants us. In almost all mythologies, the mythic figures are riding an animal. We would be nothing without our animals. So Ganesh is riding a rat. Kuan Yin is surfing in on her dragon. Akilanda, who is a great, previously obscure Hindu goddess, she is the goddess of the power that comes from being broken on the floor. But she rides on the crocodile of her own fear. We go, whoa, what a great image. So everyone, you know, find your animal that you want to ride. And also, what we get to do now in a graceful way without bonking our neighbors, Uranus has been going backwards, apparent motion backwards in the sky. You know, so imagine each one of us has a bow and a bowstring and an arrow, and we've been pulling it backwards. And the bowstring and the arrow might have said, be a part of us that says, oh man, I'm not making any progress at all. You know, I'm going backwards. But the bow says, no, you're really going to like this. To the extent that we pull in and back is the degree of forward velocity. Ftum. And we're letting that arrow fly tonight. And let's say that that arrow is tipped with compassion, with tyranny as its target. So everybody, without bonking your neighbor, you might take a bow and pull the bowstring back and say, if I'm moving into the most exhilarating connected time period ever on behalf of myself and all kin on this planet, what's my target? We can just wonder. And then we let it go. Futum. And we have our rousing finale. We have our rousing finale. Oh, elves, can you pass out musical instruments to everybody? Magic elves. So we have our rousing finale, which is where we get to spiral blessing into the world. And the animals and the plants are really up for us doing this. Spiraling blessing into the memosphere. And you can make your favorite animal sound because they're listening. Thanks to Katie Vaughn. Keep going, keep going. Katie Vaughn. And our ally, Twere Cheka. Hey. And to all of you great people doing this really great work. Yay, you. And I'm Caroline Casey, thanking you for doing this good work of spiraling blessings out to this city and out to the world. Thank you, team. Woof. Mwah.